Let's take our Bibles at this time and turn to the Gospel according to Luke in chapter 2. You might want to turn as well to Isaiah 9, of which we'll speak, and I'll read a few verses from Isaiah 9, a prophecy of the great birth of our Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. But let's read the old story of the birth of Jesus, Luke 2, and we'll read through verse 20. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered or taxed, registered to be taxed. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. Thus far we read the Christmas story of Luke, God's inspired word of the truth of the incarnation, the birth of his son, Mary's son, our Savior and Lord. Isaiah had prophesied long ago in Isaiah chapter 9 in verses 6 and 7, the reality of the births of the Son before he was born. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David, and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from this time forward even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isaiah prophesied long ago of that of which Jesus, or was said of Jesus in Luke chapter 2 and verse 7, "She, Mary, brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." The child is born, and we celebrate. And we know the parents, we rejoice with them. And they tell us whether the child is a boy or a girl. They tell us her name, his weight, length. And if we're close enough to the parents, we come and see the babe for ourselves, maybe even to hold him. These children, these babes, we're so happy for, aren't we? More than just statistics, weight and length and so on, more than just numbers. These children are human beings, fearfully and wonderfully made of God. Amazing bodies and amazing souls and amazing persons. And the wonder of the reality of this should dawn upon us in the light of the Word, but especially as the children grow and they become the persons that they are, and we see how different they are from one another, we marvel at the way of God. So they grow, their individual identity is more known to us, and we're left wondering at the marvel, what child is this that I brought forth or that our friends have brought forth? That's of a child who's born. Today we think upon Jesus who's born, and we think upon him as the great wonder of wonders. And we're left, really, with the ponderous question, what child truly is this? Indeed, we celebrate with the parents, with Mary, and with God. And if Mary is speechless and does not know where to begin to speak, only ponders the truth in her heart, but we want to know about this Son, God, the divinely and perfectly proud Father, he'll let us know. He'll lead us to the wonder of his own Son, now become Mary's Son, born this day. I want us, beloved, as we're huddled together in the snowy day, and we've risked everything to come and worship, I want us to ask of God today anew questions we might have of his Son. Reverently, but prayerfully, seeking answers from God the Father, in light of the Word, on what we call Christmas Day, the day that Jesus was born. So I want us to ask basically this question, what child is this? And to ask this, maybe knowing something about the child, but to ask this in reverence that knows there's so much more to know of this child who's laying there, laid there, brought forth there, and who develops as a person or as a human being in the person of his Son, and who learns things, who's helpless there, and who is this God incarnate there. Of him we certainly have questions. So let's put these questions to our Father, shall we, in a sermon of those who aren't know-it-alls, but are humbly beseeching God for wisdom on this day to know anew the story of Christmas and of the gospel. So what child is this? That's the question we want to ponder anew and really to ask of God. Let's all be asking of God as we're sitting there hearing and as we're standing there hearing the very word that God would have us hear as we approach the Son and approach God through the Son. So we ask questions like anyone would of any other child born. And we do this here, however, reverently, and knowing that God will be patient with us if our questions even seem silly. Like this question, how much does the boy weigh? We might ask in profound ignorance, or we might ask and wonder just about how human Jesus was. What weight was he? Is he in the pounds of 7 pounds, and there's their ounces, and so on? Well, God answers directly from his Word. When we ask especially that question, how much does he weigh? And God's answer from his Word is, his is the weight of glory. His is the infinite weight of glory. Don't be belittling yourself or my Son with how much and how many pounds he weighs. Just consider that. His is the weight of glory. Well, then, again, in our boldness, we might ask of the Father, because we're interested as humans in these things. Well, what length is his? We might expect 19, 20, 21 inches or so on. But immediately God will answer us from his word, even today, and we'll be reminded that his is the length, the width, and the depth, the infinite dimensions of love. So his the weight of glory and his the length of love. This is what we need to know about this babe, first of all. But then we go as the earthlings that we are in our littleness and with our questions of the Father, knowing that he's pleased to answer our questions. We ask him, well, was he on time? Was he on time? Did he come? Was he brought into this world just on time as the doctors had predicted? After all, there was time from his conception and to his birth, and normally we think of 9 months or so, and that would be the time. But then again, we ask with regard to the time, and God's answer is, well, this one was planned forever, and more is forever the Son, whose goings forth, if you'd only read and listen, whose goings forth have been from of old, even from everlasting. His birth, this day that you celebrate, his is the decreed sonship. And then we quickly ask, one question seems to lead to another, and we're getting bolder as we come to the Father. We ask, how can this be? That he who is now born and who is now is in all of his humanity, someone who was before. And now the Father listens, and now he whispers and comes close. This Son before of Mary has been forever. He's my only begotten Son, eternally with me, in the communion of my Holy Spirit, God the Son. So the Father is showing things divine here, and the divinity even of this Son laid in the manger. But then another question is sparked by it, isn't it? Another query of friends of the Son. We're becoming more and more friends with him as we learn these things of the Father. We query, but how can this be? This child be your child, Father, when this child is so evidently of Mary? This child is so like her. This child is so like others who were born of a womb, and who had developed there naturally, and who's now laid in a manger with baby clothes and baby needs. And look, now he's crying, and there he's sleeping, and now he's sucking. How can this be what you say, Father, that this one had this existence, this pre-existence, and is the eternal begotten Son of Thee? To which query, which are many questions, the Father simply says, this is the mystery of the ages. That's what Christmas is all about. The mystery of the ages, now in flesh appearing, God with us. And the Father goes on to say, in anticipating other information that we might need, that's why his name is called by the angel Emmanuel, the Son who is with us, God. And that's why the prophet recognized before he was born of Mary that his name is wonderful. That's the divine name. And his name is Counselor, and he's the mighty God, and he's the everlasting Father, and he's Prince of Peace. And, well now, the friends of the Son, the lovers of the Father, they're baffled by all of this. You are too, aren't you? The mystery of the ages. And so we go on to another subject. It seems like another subject, and we're hearing the angels as we speak. They've said something about the Son, and the angels have said, this is glad tidings. So we ask of the Father, what does that mean? That he's this one of great glory, and his length is this infinite dimension of love, and that he's God with us. He's human, he's divine, he is and he was. We're pondering that still, but now we hear that this is good. How can it be good? We're sinful. How can Christmas be good for those who dare to approach the sun and the crèche or whatever it is we're approaching? And the Father says, this is my Son, now born of Mary, Son of God, Son of man, he is Messiah. He's the Savior. He's Christ the Lord. Your Messiah. Your Savior. Your Lord. Isaiah the prophet listened to him. He says, this is the Son who's born, who's given. The Son who's born unto you. For you. It's not just a display of glory so that God will be God and everyone will know. And they're still left there in the darkness of their sin and their death and their depravity. He's the Son who's born, and the glory of his being Savior will be known in Bethlehem. It will be known. So the Father goes on to answer our query about this glad tidings, and he says, he's the Savior as mine anointed one who has this office of prophet. Indeed, he's the Word of God in flesh appearing. He's all that God has to say of God himself and of the truth that there will be an establishment through him of righteousness and peace and love in this most marvelous way, even before he can mouth the words, Jesus, he's the Word. He's what I say to you. And he declares as Messiah, as the prophet, the glad tidings. And he was in the mouth of the angels, the Father goes on to say. For all that angels say is what Jesus says. And they're servants of him and being servants of you. He's also the King, my Son. He's the King of a kingdom of heaven, which will be established on earth. And the saved ones will be citizens of the kingdom. And the government will be upon his tiny shoulders. And of this government there shall be no end, as the prophet says. And besides, this Son is the great priest, consecrated to do my will. He volunteers to be the priest in the council of heaven. And he volunteers to be the priest who himself will offer himself, the great offering of himself, as a priest atonement to pay for sins and to bring many sons back home to God. Just how the Father fills us in on some of the details. It will be a blood way. The way of blood. The way of conflict. The way of a cross. And indeed, and now the Father really whispers to us, we can hardly take his saying this out loud, this will be the death of a cross. He will bear the curse, this my lovely Son, I will lay upon him the iniquity of you sinners, and he will bear it all away. Do you hear that? This son is born to die, man of sorrows, aimed for the cross. By God, by himself, also in his humanity. But then a few more questions we have to ask. We have to, because we know other realities. The Father's spoken to us, and we're just taking it in if we can. But the other reality is no one seems to want the Son. Look, there's no room for him in the inn. And that just goes to say there's no room in humanity for him. No room in human hearts, in human society, in human families, even human churches, places of worship. There's no room for Jesus there, not this one of whom the Father's spoken, this wonderful Son, this God with us. And we say to the Father, because we're just very concerned about this, aren't we? There's no room for Jesus. And look at what sinners are making of him now. Let's look. He's just a mere child, they say. Something about the Christmas story and the gospel Christianity has to claim for him itself is perverted. And Jesus is made like the rest of us. And so there's this celebration that goes on of what the world can offer. And Jesus Christ seems to be an outstanding example of what it is to die, to live, and to die for a cause. And to speak nice words, to die a terrible death at the hands of people who didn't understand him. And so we celebrate what we can do. And it's all about our giving. And it's all about the spirit of Christmas. And we sell him. And we sell things that remind us of the human spirit and of the prospects of peace and goodwill among men. We wonder then, and we say to the Father, and I hope you're praying with me now, Father, how can this be? And the Father says, well, my children, my friends, I want you to know in Bethlehem, we want you to know Father and Son in the communion of that Holy Spirit, the wonder of grace. That's what we want you to know. I come into time in my Son, the Father says, and I want to show how free my love is. The sinners didn't make the way, but I will. I will. And that's what grace is all about. The wonder of God's love. But then we go on and we have this other question and we say, but how can anything overcome the human heart, Lord? Our human heart. How can anything? How can anything, anyone heal the sinful human condition, which healing would have to be the raising of those sinners from the dead? How can it be? How can it be? Yes, you say there's grace, and we're not questioning you. Irreverently, we pray, Father. But it seems not to fit, not to work, not in our world. And sinners across the eons of time, since even the birth of the Son, and of the Christian church have still been at it, rejecting this God with us and this message. How can it be? And then we hear the Father answer, one thing that matters, Himself. And He says to us, didn't you hear Isaiah speak of what's behind the birth of this Son? Right at the end of verse 7, chapter 9, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform all of this. It will be behind the giving of the Son, the birth of my Son in human nature. It will, my zeal, be behind the establishment of His kingdom in justice and righteousness and love and true peace. It will be behind the whole gospel that is Christmas, because I am the God of this zeal. And if you would look closely, my friends, the Father's saying, that word zeal means I am jealous. That's what that word means. That means I am jealous for my own glory. And my own glory revealed in my Son, by whom I've made the worlds and for whom I've made the worlds. And now I made this way in Bethlehem that He might have the preeminence. He's my lovely Son. And for the sake of my lovely Son and my honor in Him and revealed in Him, nothing can stop me. Nothing. And I make the way into this world. I establish this beachhead in this world that seems to be overrun by the prince of demons. And I come into hearts and I speak to them, and they are born again. And it's all so that I might get the glory. And sinners and other gods, none. And one last question we ask, though. Father, who knows? How can this thing be known? It's known in the Bible. We have it, and we know it now. You've sealed it upon our hearts, Father. And we love Your Son. We love the Son of God. And the Father answers, well, how will it get announced? How will this be, this birth announcement? And He says, I appoint and I send messengers, preachers who preach and prepare the way, in whom those preachers I put the spirit of Elijah and of all the prophets and of my Son who spoke by them. And I gather my people in this way of preaching and hearing, and the hearing of faith working. Those are the questions and the answers. 10 questions, and we have countless, don't we? 10 answers. Beloved, you've heard them. And God has answered our questions, hasn't He? That's the answer of Christmas to those who may question. And to be sure, they're light for us, these answers, aren't they? But there's something about the answers that God gives to all of our questions, every single one of them. It leaves us in the light and yet wondering. This seems so hard. This is so impossible. This is otherworldly. And that God would so come into our world and into our hearts. And so in the answering of the questions, isn't there still this we left wondering? It led to more questions and more and more. He wonders sometimes if we'll have questions in heaven. If it won't be just all the answers given, and we know it all right at once, the first day in heaven. But maybe all of eternity is asking the questions, not with consternation as we do now, maybe sometimes, not with doubts and worries, but simply with wonder. The God who's known and yet who's so unknown. Maybe to the first questions that we asked of the Father and to the answers that He gives, that should be enough for us. Simple questions. What's His weight? What's His length? The weight of Jesus, the length of Jesus. We ask this of other babes, and You've given us an answer, and it leaves us pondering. His weight is glory. The length is the length of My love, which knows no end. And that's enough, isn't it? It's enough to lead us to this one thing that I pray is the response of every one of us who hears. Worship. Worship. The answers of Christmas, the questions that we ask and the answers that we give that may not seem to satisfy incredulous minds ought, however, to be enough for us to bend the knee and to worship God. Look how the Gospel according to Luke, God's own word, leads us in that direction. All of the visitors of Bethlehem and environs at that time were led to worship. The angels, they began, didn't they? In fact, this is a fulfillment of what angels would do. Like they did at creation, they at the birth of the Son do worship the Son, showing that those highest of heavenly beings are lower than the Son because He's God, the Son. They worshiped. What a worship. Worth a thousand sermons, that worship of angels. They worship. But they came to shepherds, that shepherds might worship. Those lowly, mean shepherds were led to worship, to go to the Son and to see the thing that's come to pass and to bend the knee and to be, for the rest of their lives, this worshipful shepherding shepherds that they were. And then there's the wise men, those dignitaries from the east. They came along by and by to see the one whose star they had followed and before whom they bowed and offered their gifts. So these three of such varying social strata, they all did one thing that is becoming us humans. We worship. Now I know you want to hold this babe. You want to hold him in your arms, don't you? And the Father would say even to us, you may, because you must embrace him, but only worship him. See, the Jesus of Christmas is not just the Jesus of embrace. He's the Jesus who's to be worshipped and praised. And so we're left with a song and we're left with a question, what child is this? Now we found out, and God has told us, and we're left worshiping. So now, dear people of God, have braved the storm, and you would worship, and at times like this, we're reminded that neither hell, nor high water, nor any storm, nor any sin will ever hinder us from worshiping God. God's zeal will perform this. So go back to your homes. And don't let anything get in the way of your worship. And since the Son and the Father are worthy of the worship of a whole world and of 10,000 besides, let's call others to worship, shall we? And go tell it on the mountains and over the hills and everywhere that Jesus Christ is born, child of Mary, Son of God. Celebrate. And even if you don't have all the answers, and even if at times it seems like there's not enough. There's not enough for us, and it doesn't seem possible that we can get even through the day or through this disease or over this regret and these problems. But then you remember the answers Father gives, won't you? Because the answer of Christmas is, I give my Son, and He's enough. And I give grace, and I give glory to my name in this, and this is enough for you, my children. It's enough for you, young children and young people. It's enough for the church and everyone of every strata. If it was enough for angels and shepherds, let us then be as wise men and women and boys and girls and come to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass. Only when you go, may the result be you turn away with joy and wonder and worship. What child is this? Amen. Father, we thank you for giving us your answers to our many questions and leaving us with the Spirit who teaches us of this truth that's revealed in your word, the truth of the mystery of God with us. If we go away from this worship place to our homes, family, friends, or maybe to be alone today, but only so that we may ponder anew this thing that has come to pass, this answer to our question, what child is this? Amen.